brothers and sisters and respected friends. Good to see everybody here this morning. It's all practically a full room. We begin our study into the last two chapters this morning of Paul's epistle to the Romans with verse 1, when then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Paul exhorted the believers in Corinth, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. When our conduct becomes a cause of peril to our brother's salvation, it is time that we curtail our actions. We are to give none offense. Let no man seek his own. We are to be kind and compassionate in the Spirit of Christ to all our brothers and sisters. Christ said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Paul reminded us in 1 Corinthians 10, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. It is important that through the daily assimilation of the Word of God, that we learn from the examples of those who went before, that we do not fall into the same mistakes of some, and that those of faith be an example of the way we should walk. Someone has on their website a phrase that people should know us through our actions, that if they don't know God, that they may come to know Him through our daily actions. Verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This strikes at the very heart of what true fellowship is about, that we are all of one mind, not just in our individual ecclesias, but in the brotherhood as a whole. Verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. When Abraham was told to offer up his son Isaac, he told his son, God will provide a lamb. As we saw last night in our lecture, he had extreme faith beyond probably what most of us could endure, that God would raise Isaac from the dead to preserve his seed. Christ's sacrifice confirmed the promises to the fathers by his cutting off and condemning sin in the flesh, that we, the Gentiles of verse 9, may have hope of eternal life. For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. In thee and in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. These verses 9 through 12 show to the Jews that the plan and purpose of God to include the Gentiles into the saving grace of the gospel was in the purpose of Yahweh from the beginning. The logic is laid out by Paul that the Scriptures prove this truth as we know. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul shows how Christ, the Messiah, was sent to confirm the promises made to the fathers of old and to conquer sin in the flesh, and that it is recorded by David in Psalm 18, great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forever. The promises were to Israel and their seed, and in them were all the nations to be blessed and able to brought into the covenant. As Paul says in verse 10, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with this his people. In the broader application, we see from the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. This speaks of Christ's victory over sin in political manifestation. He will save Israel and deliver God's land from oppressors. And when these things have been accomplished, the Gentile nations will rejoice together with Israel when all families of the earth will be blessed. In the end, we see the Jew and Gentile rejoicing together as they are delivered when Christ returns. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In verse 11, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Paul is referring to the 117th Psalm. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Although Psalm 117 has only two verses, it speaks of the fulfillment of the promises when the gospel is to be preached throughout the whole world, and when Jew and Gentile unite in the one true worship of Yahweh. We note the emphasis in the psalm upon which the apostle draws distress his line of reasoning. Oh, praise Yahweh, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. In verse 12 of Romans, Paul yet again quotes from another Old Testament source in Isaiah. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. The quote in Isaiah reads, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Quoting from the expositor, we note a summary of these four verses. First, he has shown that Gentiles would be brought within the compass of the saving power of the gospel. Second, he has established that mortal Gentiles will acknowledge the truth in the kingdom age. Third, he has provided scriptural proof that Jew and Gentile will be united in the one true faith in the messianic era. And fourth, he has confirmed Christ's future reign on earth, and that the Lord will reign not only as King of the Jews, but as King over Gentiles and all the world. Paul was trying to convince the Jewish believers that they were to accept the Gentiles as co-heirs of the gifts from on high, and that they would be equals with them in the kingdom age. In him, that is Christ, shall the Gentiles trust. Ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul told the Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul concludes his thoughts with an earnest prayer in verses 13 to 14. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. The rest of the chapter 15 is a personal explanation for his writing the epistle and greetings and encouragement of those of the faith. Paul also outlines his desire to visit the ecclesia at Rome if the Lord wills, having a great desire these many years to come unto you, Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thither forward by you. Paul sends his greeting to the brethren and sisters of the various ecclesias they knew of and who may be visiting them. He commends them for their works to him and others, some of whom who have for my life laid down their own necks. Paul's final exhortation to them was that they mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. By these words we also need to give heed, and not to be led away with crotchets and items which divide the brethren. Not that we should overlook error, but be mindful of those who always seem to have complaints and to stir up strife.